And joining me right now here on the phone line to preview a new season of college football, he's my good friend Joe Lisi with GoForTheTwo.com. Joe, how you doing today?
Doing great, Mark. We're about 3 weeks away from the start of the 2022 season. Doesn't get better than this. The calm before the storm. So I think we're in store for a great college football season.
I'm happy to hear that. Tell us about your preview magazine, which we could buy right now.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. You could buy it. Big 12, Big 10. It's broken down in terms of Power 5. Unique statistics, coaches on the hot seat, top 10 games. I mean, very unique stats from the offense and defensive perspective that you won't find anywhere else. It's an add-on to your favorite preview that's more roster-specific. This is broken down for statistical breakdowns of strengths and weaknesses of every team.
That's really cool. Do you know what teams are playing in which conference after this offseason? That's the question.
Yes, we do. I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to the Big 12, you know, to see teams like UCF and obviously BYU and Houston and Cincinnati move on. I think that conference is just a cut under where the Big 10 and obviously the SEC are entering 2023. But this is what it's all about, expansion. And which conference can really jockey for the top spot?
Long term, and there's no wrong answers here, where do you think we go with conferences?
Yeah, great question. I think we're going to have about maybe three or four. I mean, where does the Pac-12 go right now? I mean, you know, I just don't think they have a leg to stand on with losing USC and obviously UCLA to the Big Ten. You know, Oregon and Washington are great, but again, are they national brands at this point? You know, diehard college football fans know them, but in terms of the national brand, I don't know, even if they stay with the Pac-12, they could carry that conference. And then if the Big 12 does get involved in other conferences, where do they go? Where do teams like Washington State, Oregon State, you know, just to name a few, Cal and Stanford, where do they go to really solidify revenue and, more importantly, eyes on their product? It's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard, but I think ultimately it will be about four Power 5 conferences made up of about maybe 20 teams, and then maybe eventually we have a college football playoff expansion of about 24 that sort of similarly resembles the FCS product.
When I look at the Pac-12 before the move of USC and UCLA, like you were saying, Joe, I think about the last couple years when they have their Pac-12 title game on a Friday night at a half-empty stadium in California, where I just say, yeah, they're in trouble. Do you think the Pac-12 will just die after a while, or it'll just modify itself?
Yeah, I think it'll die. I really do. I mean, and I'm with you, too. You know, I watch the games late night, you know, just for the fact of watching football past midnight here on the East Coast. But at the end of the day, when we talk about viewership, when we talk about, you know, marquee products, go back. When was the last time, like, Cal was relevant? You know, think about that for a second. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, Deshaun Jackson, that was like 2003, 2001. You know, it really hurts the conference to recognize that the Pac-12 network didn't take off like they thought it would. Mm-hmm. They put their product uniquely on that platform, and it didn't elevate the conference to the next level, coupled with the fact that the last Pac-12 team to enter the college football playoff was Washington back in 2017, and they got blown out by Alabama.
Don't worry. A lot of teams get blown out by Alabama. So don't worry about it. Okay. Let's go to the SEC. What do you think of Georgia and Alabama? Like, are they the two favorites again?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, you know, when you just look at Alabama and the weapons that they have, Jahmyr Gibbs, they now have Jermaine Burton that comes over from Georgia, which is one of the most, I want to say, unique transfers in college football. You win a national championship, knocking off Alabama, and then you transfer to the program that you beat. I mean, where's the love? But outside of that, just, you know, Bryce Young, the physicality of the offense and defensive lines and what they have at every level, Jordan Battle and Will Anderson on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to be there in terms of the West, right? And then Georgia in the East, still, I mean, they're minus 550 here in New Jersey and obviously in Vegas from the gambling perspective. But, you know, physicality, offensive, defensive lines, do they have enough in terms of the skill talent, players like McIntosh taking over for James Cook and Zamir White? Do they have enough with Stetson Bennett offensively to challenge Alabama this year? I don't think they do. And here's the other thing, too, Mark. You have to tell me, You know, is there a hangover effect? The one thing that Alabama's done better than anybody is lose players to the NFL and assistant coaches, and all they do is regroup and reload each and every year. It's a process. We saw it with LSU where they lose Joe Brady and Dave Aranda back-to-back sub-500 seasons, and Eddie O no longer has a job. So can they maintain that and the consistency? I think they're definitely a 10-win program, but I think there is a couple of games that they could potentially slip up this year.
Dude, I stood by Stetson Bennett at SEC Media Days. He's a normal human being. Like, is he the smart? Look, and I give
him
credit.
10, a buck 90?
Yeah. I give him credit. He won the title, but like, it's just shocking. Just like when you meet him in person, compared to like when I stood by Tim Tebow, who looks like he's Superman, it's like incredible. It really is. Is Bama your pick to win the SEC?
They are, but you know, the one thing about Bama, they are my pick to win the SEC, but it wouldn't shock me if, you know, some of the teams in the West outside of Georgia and the East, I think, you know, when you look at who can challenge Bama, definitely if Georgia gets to the SEC championship game because of how they play defense, they have a shot, right? But when you look at the teams in the West closing the gap, teams like Texas A&M, teams like Arkansas, teams like obviously Ole Miss with Jackson Dart, you know, I want to say it's probably the most competitive that we've seen in the last, what, 6 or 7 years from top to bottom, right? When you just look at talent. And the one thing I will say about Alabama last year is they sort of played down to the level of competition in the SEC. 15.5-point favorites against Florida. They win by 2. Very tough ball game. The Gators run for over 200 on them. They were 20.5-point dogs against Arkansas. Win by 7. 29.5-point favorites, against LSU. It was a last-second goal-line stand. 19.5-point favorites against Auburn. They win by 2 in overtime. So you could never say never, but the fact that they have the players that they do, that's why they're the favorites in the SEC this year, and I can't go against them. But I think it'll be a tougher ride. You know, I wouldn't shock me if they have one or two losses along the way.
We're here with Joe Lisi, GoForThe2.com. You bring up the Gators. What are your expectations for year one with Billy Napier?
I think he's a great head coach, Mark, and I know you're closer to the program than I am, but I think the biggest thing for Billy Napier in year one is obviously get the most out of Anthony Richardson and then to weed out the talent that fits his scheme. We know in Louisiana Lafayette, they were a blue-collar team, balanced in terms of Levi Lewis and Elijah Mitchell running the football, working off of play action. That sort of wasn't the MO under Florida last year. It sort of was like a mismatch under Dan Mullen, right? And then defensively, they need to get much better in run support. And when you allow 300 yards to Ty Davis Price and LSU in that ball game, that needs to change, right? They're going to get challenged week one with a very blue-collar team in Utah. I think 6 wins is a productive year for Billy Napier as long as he develops Richardson at the quarterback position and they build up the physicality on the offensive defensive lines. I think that's what you look for 2023. I don't think they're a 7-win football team in year number one.
LSU with Mr. Brian Kelly, what are those expectations?
Yeah, they're tempered too. And I will say this, you know, LSU to me is a team that you have to keep an eye out on. I think 9-3 is not out of the realm of possibility when you look at the skill talent that they have. John Emery and obviously Noah Kane from Penn State comes over. You have Kayshawn Booty and Jarae Jenkins. Booty's hurt. I know he came off the ACL, but that's a dynamic 1-2 punch and they're loaded at the quarterback position. They might not be elite in terms of Jaden Daniels, Brennan, and obviously Nussmeier, but that's not a bad trio to have battling out in fall camp. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, Brian Kelly gets knocked in terms of not taking a Notre Dame over the hump, gets them to the college football playoff twice in the last 6 seasons, never had an elite quarterback. This potential trio is, I want to say, maybe the best that he's ever had, even at Notre Dame with Ian Book and all those playmakers. So I think he's a great game planner. He's definitely a cut above where Ed Ogeron was from a game plan and X's and O's standpoint. And I think they could be a 9-3, 10-2 football team this year and well over their 6.5 total in 2022.
We're here with Joe Lisi, GoForThe2.com, talking a little college football. And yes, getting ready for the new season, which is right around the corner. Let's go to the ACC, staying here in Florida. What do you think about Mario Cristobal for year one with the Hurricanes?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I like what he did in terms of bringing back Alonzo Highsmith. He brought in Jason Taylor as assistant coaches and recruiters, and the swag is back for Miami. But you have to be honest with me, right? Isn't this what we saw with, like, Mark Richt and yes. some of the other coaches, Manny Diaz? I mean, the problem that I struggle with is twofold, and I want to get your take on it as well, is that, number one, Mario Cristobal, yes, he elevated Oregon, but in big games, especially two games against Utah last year, the team was non-existent. When the game and the chips were in the middle of the table to go to the college football playoff, they didn't step up. They actually got blown out, and it's not the first time. Remember when they had Justin Herbert a couple of years ago when they went on the road to Arizona State? They only had one loss. That was the year that they beat Wisconsin in terms of the Rose Bowl with Herbert, right? If Herbert wins that ball game, they're in the college football playoff. But a freshman in Jaden Daniels chucks for 308 on their defense, and they can't get it done. So that is going to be the MO for Miami this year. Can they win games on the road? They're 8-point dogs to Texas A&M. They're 7.5-point dogs to Clemson. And keep in mind, over the last three seasons since 2018, the program is just 10-15 on the road or on a neutral field. So I know they have Tyler Van Dyke. I know there's optimism. I love Jalen Knighton as well. But at the end of the day, you need to win these tough road games. I don't know if they do it. I picked them at 8-4 this year.
All right, here's what I get confused on with the timeline. So Willie Taggart is there at Oregon. He's there for 1 year.
Right.
Then Florida State says, we want you to coach the team, and that's his dream job. So he leaves. Was Mario supposed to go with him and then said, nah, I'll be the coach at Oregon? Is that what happened? I think so.
I don't know. I don't know, because I brought this up, too, on radio. You know, Mario Cristobal was ran out of FIU, right, when he had Wesley Carroll and T.Y. Hilton back in the day. He put that program on the map. Why didn't they go for him back then? Like that was the only thing. If Mario was the guy for Miami, why did you go to Rick? Why did you go to Manny Diaz? Why didn't you try to lure Mario Cristobal to South Beach? That's the only question mark I have. So I am confused about it. I mean, it seems right because he's an alum. But at the end of the day, they've had multiple opportunities to lure Mario Cristobal to South Beach, and they didn't do it.
If you follow Hurricane Twitter with all the fans, they've already won 7 national titles because of Mario Cristobal. And I love
him. I know, right? The optimism is going to be through the roof. I can't, you know, they've been here before. They have been here before. And remember, what was it, 4 years ago, 2017, Kenny Pickett ruined those hopes as a freshman in Heinz Field.
This is my thing. Like, if you're going to A&M, which is a gigantic game for the program, just put up a fight for 4 quarters. That's all I ask.
Exactly.
Don't get embarrassed. That's my luck.
Right. You're right. Right? I mean, if you go toe-to-toe with Texas A&M in that Week 3 battle, September 17th, you're on the road to, obviously, recovery and getting over the hump, right? You have two games to really show out in terms of a national perspective. Clemson, and you have Texas A&M. Clemson's been the best in the ACC, even though they didn't win it last year. I mean, think about this, Clemson, ready? Clemson is 67-6 straight up in ACC competition since 2014.
Man.
Since 2016, Mark, in Death Valley, straight up 46-1. The only loss came against Pittsburgh. So Clemson faces NC State. They face Miami this year, both at home. So, you know, when people talk about NC State and Miami winning the ACC, they got to go through Death Valley, and they only have one loss since 2016.
Do you like it where in 2023 they'll just get rid of the divisions and it's the top two teams?
Yeah, I sort of like that. I have no problem with that. You know, the Big 12 does that, and that's not a problem. I mean, divisions are great, but look at the Big 10. You know, when you just look at the lack of consistency from teams like Iowa and Wisconsin and Minnesota and even Northwestern, I mean, they beat up on each other, and then – you know, the Big Ten title game for Ohio State or even last year with Michigan is a walkthrough, right? So I would much rather see a team like, you know, Ohio State square off against Michigan again or Penn State or whatever team is the second best in the conference. You know, that's what we want. We want to elevate the product where there's parity, but we want to see the two best teams in a potential conference squaring off for a championship title.
Okay. Florida State, year three of Mike Norvell. Does he have to get to a bowl game?
Yes. Yes, you without a doubt. I put him on the hot seat in terms of my list as well. I mean, from where Taggart was, right, and where he left, and then where Mike Norvell is entering this year. Now, I will say there is a pulse. They've run the football much better. They got up to 177 yards per game. We saw a stitch of a defensive effort from Jermaine Johnson last year, and that defense, and obviously they had Clemson on the ropes and couldn't pull that ball game out. So there were signs of life. But you can't lose to Jacksonville State on the last second, a Hail Mary at home. I mean, that game cost them a bowl game. I mean, come on now. I mean, if they don't get to a bowl, he's out. And I think prime time's in. I mean, you need to elevate the program. Think about this. I mean, Jimbo Fisher regressed after winning the national championship in 2013. It was a slow regression, right? 13-0, and then there were a couple of 10-3 seasons, and then all of a sudden the offensive line slipped, and they said, I'm moving on to take the $7.5 million. Where Taggart and where Mike Norvell have this program, and where Bobby Bowden, one of the best coaches ever, had it and elevated that for the last 20 years. I mean, it's a shame to think of where the Seminoles are right now. They need a change unless they get to a bowl in 2022.
What was that name you threw out there? What was that?
Bobby Bowden, the best coach, one of the best coaches ever.
Bobby is awesome. I met him a couple years ago. It was so cool. Didn't you do that a couple years ago where you talked to the whole family?
The Bowden family, and may his soul rest in peace, the Bowden family is very close to me. His son Terry and I worked at ABC Sports from 2001 to 2007. So he's a personal friend. I've followed Terry's career, obviously at North Alabama, and then when he moved on to Akron and now at UL Monroe, he's consistently in touch, and we wish him the best. Did a fantastic job last year for UL Monroe, right? 0-10 last year, 2 years ago. Winless, didn't even have a lead in the COVID season for UL Monroe, and takes them to a 4-8 overall record. And they knocked off Malik Willis and Liberty last year as a 32.5-point underdog, fifth biggest upset in FBS history. So great friend of my show, and love the Bowden family.
You bring up Deion Sanders. Can he coach? I'm confused.
I think he can. And you know, it starts with recruiting and it starts with motivation, right? Think about this. It's almost, even if you don't buy into Deion as being an elite game planner, per se, I think he's a very good head coach. But even if you don't buy into that, look at what Ed Orgeron was able to do in terms of bringing a national championship back to LSU, right? He brought in the proper coordinators, Joe Brady and Dave Aranda, and they won a national championship with Joe Burrow, right? He had players buy into the mantra and the intensity of the program and what it meant to be an LSU Tiger. As long as Deion can do that, that's a cut above where Mike Norvell is right now. So I think they need to shake it up if you want to get Florida State back over the hump. And here's the thing, too. You know, I've heard not just from multiple sources, but, you know, even we had Tommy Bowden on last week. He's even, chimed in and said that the facilities at Florida State are not what you expect. You know, when you think about Florida State competing with some of the better teams in terms of the ACC and just the Power Five, they are at a significant disadvantage from an athletical facility standpoint, which is mind-boggling when you just think about, you know, it's Florida State, right? They should have money to pump into the program, you know? And when a team like Northwestern pumps in $100 million into their athletic facility, you would just expect that Florida State would do the same.
We're here, Joe Lisi, gophertheTwo.com. Let's end with this. What do you think of the job Gus Malzahn's doing and then going into year two?
I think he's going to do a good job. Now, obviously, the health of Isaiah Bauer, I think, hinges on that. Who wins the quarterback battle? I know Mikey Keene stepped up last year, taking over for Dylan Gabriel. But I'll tell you what, John Rhys Plumlee, you followed his career in the SEC. He's a gamer. He's a riverboat gambler. If he somehow wins that job, I would love to buy into UCF this year. I think they get back to basics. I think the defense takes the next step. I like where they're at in terms of a program. That win over Florida last year carries a lot of weight in terms of recruiting. I think they're going to be there. I think they're a potential 10-win football team, and if things go their way, maybe they run the table and they're They're the new version of Cincinnati and where they were back in 2017, 2018 with Danny White running that program.
This is a tough one, but I have to ask it. So what do you think of the American Conference for its last year with all these teams?
I think the play is great, but you tell me, what you know, when you lose Cincinnati, when you lose Houston, when you lose UCF, can they survive or do they need to latch on to a conference like the ACC? Because if the ACC loses Clemson, Miami, and let's say Florida State over the next year or so, where does that leave the ACC? Is NC State marketable from a football aspect? No. Is North Carolina? I mean, granted, from the college basketball aspect, yes. But do you want to see Wake Forest? Is Wake Forest going to garner national recognition from a college football standpoint? I mean, they were great last year, but just nationally, they can't hold themselves. So they're going to have to sustain that foundation with another conference. So maybe they partner up. Maybe we see the ACC and AAC combine or go with the Pac-12. They're going to have to do something because, you know, Clemson's on the radar. You know Florida State and Miami as well. They could say no all they want. We know the Big Ten and SEC are eyeing them up over the next couple of months.
See, this has been my thing, and I'll let you go. So let's say you're the Gators, and you add all these teams. So you're going to have some schedule where it's like LSU, Bama, Georgia. Maybe you take on Oklahoma. And then maybe in the future you have to take on Clemson as well. How are you supposed to win with this schedule?
I know. It's crazy. It's going to be very difficult. You're absolutely right, right? But this goes back to, like, you got to look at the article in 1985, 1986 on Sports Illustrated about how Florida dominated the sport of college football. They were talking about expansion then, and here we are, what, 40 years later, and we're finally doing it? It's amazing.
You're going to have coaches make $100 million. Then they're going to go 8-3 and get fired. Because, boo, right. Why don't you win? It's like so right. Crazy, dude. All right, one more time. How can we check out your preview magazine?
Yeah, they're up on Amazon, Big Ten and Big 12. But they're not just Big Ten and Big 12, Mark. It has nuggets from every Power 5 conference. You know, top 10 games, coaches on the hot seat. Very unique read. And like I said, it's an add-on. It's not roster-specific. It's broken down statistically. You won't see these stats anywhere else. It really gives you a good gauge about where these teams were in 2021 heading into 2022.
Great stuff. Follow this guy on Twitter. Go for the two. His name's Joe Lisi. My man, thanks for your help and good luck here in August. All right.
Anytime, Mark. Love the show.